Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 581. We are beginning in Binyan Bayis, Living Marriage, Teachings of Rav Moshe Shachadowitz, written by Rav Mendel Weiss. Lesson number 8 out of 10 lessons. Lesson number 8 is called The Art of Harmony. There's an introduction, and then there's 3 subcategories in here. One is about embracing differences. Number 2 is accepting lacks. And number 3 is fulfilling needs. In lesson 2, we learned that even couples who love each other may find it difficult to live with each other with shalom, because a marriage requires a couple to nurture their love in a way that produces a harmony through their everyday life. And in lesson 2, we discussed the 3 levels of unity. There's the foundation of love. Then there's an expression of this love throughout the day, and then in its ultimate unity, which is through intimacy. And the lesson 8 that we're discussing now will focus on issues that could disturb the couple's ability to live together properly, even if they have a foundation of love. But the next step of having that love expressed through the day, and then ultimately leading to intimacy, there's bumps in the road, even if they truly love each other and they have a solid foundation. And we're going to go through ways of how to overcome these obstacles. So he brings down a fascinating analogy of 3 different types of groups of things when you think about relationships. Number 1, an apple and an orange. Number 2, an elegant black gown or a beautiful yellow dress. Number 3, fire and water. At first glance, you look at each of these groups I just described, apple, orange, elegant black gown, beautiful yellow dress, fire and water, these 3 differences, they look like different qualities of their own. So for example, you have apples and oranges. They are fruits. They come from different trees. They are different, but they're both foods. And you could unify it easily in a fruit salad. You can have them both mixed in. A gown and a dress, an elegant black gown and a yellow flamboyant dress, are individual outfits. And they cannot be expressed together. Each one has to be worn separate times. It's not like the apple and orange that you can mix them together in one bowl and eat it together in a fruit the salad. Over here, you have to wear it different times, but they're both clothing. They're both clothing, and in different contexts, there's a connection. Fire and water seem the complete opposites that can't mix, but they can in fact work together, such as when one wants to cook food. We talked about the pot that separates the fire and the water. There's water, there's a fire underneath the stove that's firing up the pot of food or whatever you're cooking. And then there is the water in the pot itself that enhances the cooking and whatever dish you're creating. And the kedera, the pot, is what unifies the two and connects the fire and the water, which are opposites. So which one of these 3 relationships are most similar to husband and wife? You could identify really in all 3 groups, sort of. You know, they each grew up in different homes, different tendencies. That's like an apple and an orange. They each have different tastes. They grew on different trees. You could look at a husband and wife as having each their individual unique styles and perspectives. That's like 2 unique dresses, the black elegant dress and the flamboyant yellow dress. Or further than that, the distinctions between nurture, nature, individuality, male, female difference, and so on, comes to the conclusion of the truth that men and women are actually complete opposites. In this way, they're similar most to fire and water, the 3rd combination, which really can't combine directly in any way. So how do they combine? How do they become one? Through a pot? That seems like that's not a real connection, right? I mean, it is. It's connecting it that way, but the fire and water are separate. How do they become one if they're opposites? That's Hashem being mechaber them. That's the maral in many places. One of them is Nesivas Olam, Gemilas Chesed, Perek Dalid. He says that this, that you rejoice, you bring a rejoicing, Sameh Chasen and Kala. Chasen and Kala is Zohar and Akeva. Gam Kein Heim HaFeichem. The Maral says this. They are opposites. V'Hashem yisparech ma'achadoisam. It is God himself that unifies these opposites to make the absolute most unbelievable unifying one. Sher yud hu be'ish. The yud of Hashem's name is in the man. Hey, the hey of Hashem's name be'ish is in the woman. Loimar to tell us, ki Hashem ha-mechaber oisam asheheim afeichem. It is the name of Hashem that combines, meaning Hashem himself, that combines them, though they are opposites. So when you rejoice with chasen and kala, you are rejoicing over opposites that became one through Hashem who united them, because Hashem is one. That's why Simchas Chasan and Kal is so beautiful and so wonderful. You're experiencing God's oneness, how he brings opposites and plurality into a unified one. So the polar opposites of man and woman is telling us, yes, the true unification can only be achieved with Hashem's assistance of Hashem's own power of unification. That potential challenge of unifying a husband and wife is expressed in the Chazal Saita Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Kasha Zivugan Kriyas Yamsuf. That Kriyas Yamsuf, right? A Zivug is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. Like it says, Alikim Moshe Vichidim Baisa. Hashem returns individuals to their homes, where they originally were. Moitzi Asir Mekasharis and releases prisons in the opportune time. The Maral explains, this is a supernatural power of unifying a married couple. To know that Ein Zivig HaAdam Tivi. The Zivig, the unification of a man and a woman in marriage, is not natural. Rakhu min Hashem Yisparach HaChibav HaZivig. It's from God directly, this unification and the Zivig. V'dover Zeh Shu HaChibur HaProti Hu Inyan Nifla. The Maral is saying, this concept of this individual connection of a husband and a wife who inyan nifla is a wondrous thing. Kriyas Yamsuf is where Hashem took Yisrael outside the nature. And Hashem, just like he over here, he peers up exactly the husband and wife that's meant for each other. Hashem is the one that unites them. Hashem is the one who binds them. That's difficult, like Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf, in a way, was opposite. This is the Maral in Baragoyle Be'er Dalet. The Kriyas Yamsuf separates the sea, which was one, and separates something that really should be united as one. Like Hashem tearing something and separating it. You have a sea, that's a whole entity. Hashem split it and made it separate where they're meant to be one. In the flip side difficulty is the chibur of a ish v'isha. Royu shi nifradim kol echad levadai. By nature they should be separate from each other, opposites. But v'hu yisparach mechabra isim liyasechad. But it's Hashem that combined them. Hashem that unified them. Hashem that made them whole. So from the Maral's words, it's very, very clear that it's that when the Shechina, to have the Shechina involved in your home, to have Hashem in the picture in your home, is not just an extra benefit to get a successful marriage. You want to have a great marriage, bring the Shechina in there. No, it is the essence, it's necessary. It is only the power of God's oneness that unifies a couple. Even non-Jewish couples, secular couples, Hashem made a decision to put his unifying force there in order for them to achieve a certain degree of harmony and oneness. And if you live on that straight path, Hashem will bring you together in a way that transcends normal nature. Without that siyata d'shmaya, everything spirals downward. All these stories you hear about marriage deteriorations and sad things is because the Shechina removed their siyata d'shmaya. So basically the Chazal tells us, hold on to Hashem. Keep on the straight path. Don't let the fire extinguish the water or the water extinguish the fire, either way. And a couple should go in that proper path, and it's easy to know whether you're following it. When you know something's not right, you blame external causes. You're going to say, oh, the husband's not bringing in enough money, or he has terrible midas, and she's this, and he's that. But in truth, if you look deeper, he could have the greatest salary, good midas, They'll find new explanations why it doesn't work. The idea being here is that the Shekhinah is needed. And we're going to talk now on external factors that could interfere with the couple's love of flourishing, of not being the Shekhinah in. The first one is differences. The second one is deficiencies. And the third one is lack, that they're lacking their needs. So he's going to explain each one separately. The first one that he's going to discuss is differences. In this chapter of embracing differences, we're not talking about character flaws. People mix up the two. This is one of the most important things as we're going to start this chapter to understand. There is embracing flaws also later in the second chapter where they have real negative trait that they have to work on, and they have it, and to learn how to live with that and the right attitude with that. But very often a couple thinks that it's a bad midah when it's not a bad midah at all. It's just a difference. That's what we're talking about now. This is not a real problem, the differences. People think they are. Many, many couples in many, many marriages think that the husband and wife are bad, flawed, terrible. Meanwhile, it's not even a bad midah that they're exhibiting. It's just the difference that they're exhibiting. This is what he calls, unfortunately, the innocent divorce. It's a very common phenomenon that can destroy marriages, even when there's no real problem at all. Many houses in the beginning of the marriage without the proper hadracha destroyed their marriage outright and got divorced prematurely when there was really no real problem at all. It was not even a character flaw that was the main issue, although even if it is, that's a normal thing, like we're going to discuss 95% of the time. But here there was nothing wrong at all. It was just not learning how to embrace natural differences. So he says, Rabbi Moshe Shechada, it's like this. At 1:30 a.m., he received a phone call from a hysterical parent. Daughter married for a month. And the parent said, my daughter's a special young lady. Husband, a fine man. Don't think they're fighting day and night. They seem to be on good terms. So I asked her, why do you want to get divorced? She said, because we're not made for each other. The marriage was a mistake. Couple went to his office. He saw two very fine young people who felt that they could not live together. Husband begins to explain, I have no complaints. The Shatchan and my parents made a mistake. The marriage will never work. I don't know what happened, but they made a mistake. I thought we were perfect for each other. Now I see we're completely different. We don't have a common language. We don't have the same interests. Why should we suffer for the rest of our lives? Let's go our separate ways, find the people who are right for us. Our parents didn't understand us, and try to explain to them why we need to get divorced. The husband leaves the room. The wife comes into the room. She's crying. I'm a regular girl, just like my mother, just like my sisters, just like all my friends. I don't have any particular problem, but we can't get along for some reason. We're like two different species. Maybe he's right. Maybe we should get divorced. Maybe there's no hope. He brought both into the room, and he explained to both of them, you seem to be very fine individuals. We're hoping to find great treasure in the happiness of your future marriage. Yet when you began your life together, you felt you're living with a stranger that's completely different from all your expectations. You didn't share the same perspectives of the world. You speak differently, listen differently. You seem to be living in two different realms. So you concluded that the only solution is get divorced and find a new spouse that would be more fitting. But before you take that next step, I want to tell you a secret. All the points that you described here are the differences between a normal man and a normal woman. Even if you get divorced and you remarry, these exact differences will be found in anyone you choose to marry afterwards. Because you thought that getting married means you go into the chuppah and you immediately begin to live a life in unity happily ever after. That's not the case. The Torah teaches us that the couple needs to devote the first year of their marriage to recognize their differences, to understand that differences are meant to be worked through and accepted to one another to build an inner unity. And they had previous advice, and we're going to go into this in the next shir, Be'ezes Hashem, that people gave them advice to do more chesed with one another. Now, chesed is not a bad thing. You know, to do chesed with each other, and Hashem will help it work out. It's terrible advice, he said, which we're going to get into soon. We're going to go in the next year about mistakes people make when these things happen, when a marriage is just simply differences. It's terrible advice to say, oh, just do chesed with each other and things will work out. Because number one is, by saying that, the Rav that told this couple this is telling the couple in a nice way that their lack of similarity is a problem. And that's a big mistake. That's not true. They're supposed to be different. There's supposed to be natural differences between a husband and wife. There's supposed to be things that in each other's nature, background, that they're foreign with and they have to get used to. And even bothers them and they have to work through. It's normal, 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 normal. And by saying it's not normal, oh, just do chesed and Hashem will work it out, is terrible advice. Because you're making the assumption, oh, it's a problem. It's a problem that they're not similar. Oy, oy, vey, oy, vey. So we'll work out this chesed stuff and other stuff. No. It's not a problem. It is a bracha, and it's meant to be worked through. The second mistake is that the Rav gave advice that made no sense. Chesed will never make two people with differences more similar. Now, don't get me wrong. Chesed is important. But the true chesed here is not just acts of chesed to one another. Because you're assuming the chesed will override the differences. No. It won't make them similar. They'll still be very different. The idea is true chesed or true menschlichkeit or true development is to recognize those differences. Don't hit the panic button and work through it and learn how to embrace it to get to a better, beautiful place. Bracha v'atzlacha.